It's Divas That Care Radio, stories, strategies, and ideas to inspire positive change. Welcome to Divas That Care, a network of women committed to making our world a better place for everyone. This is a global movement for women, by women, engaged in a collaborative effort to create a better world for future generations. To find out more about the movement, visit divasthatcare.com after the show. Right now, though, stay tuned for another jolt of inspiration.
Hello and welcome to the Limitless Coach Success Podcast. I'm your host, Sabine Matharu, and I'm thrilled to embark on this journey with you as a dedicated coach, course creator, consultant. I am having the pleasure to serve incredible women over the decade and through my flagship program, Limitless Coach Success Formula. Now, with this Limitless Coach Success Podcast, I am super excited that I am extending the support toward your audience. And here we will explore strategies for unlocking your full potential, navigating the challenges of entrepreneurship, and achieving the success you envision. So be sure to check out my podcast host page, where I have added a range of incredible free resources designed to equip you with the tools you need to thrive in your entrepreneurial journey. So you are in the right place if you are a seasoned entrepreneur or you're just starting out on your path to success. And what we'll support you to do is really to define what that success looks like and help you to become unstoppable. With that said, I have the huge, huge pleasure to introduce to you a very special guest to you, because she is working with 6 and 7 business owners who have become tired of doing everything themselves. So without further ado, I have with me Georgia. Tell us a little bit about what you do, because I haven't come across many female entrepreneurs that work in exactly your niche. And I was very, very curious around what it is that you do. I understand your background is actually in recruiting and building teams, and I think bringing this topic to my listeners today is going to be really, really special, because at some point in our business journey we really need to think about how to scale, how do we clone ourselves, or how do we manage in our business without running ourselves ragged. And this is exactly what you do. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. And it's my favorite topic to talk about, so I'm excited to dive in.
So tell us a bit about your background and what made you come to the conclusion you did, and tell us actually what it is that you do exactly, and then tell us your journey as to what made you think, this is something that other people need as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey is pretty squiggly, but I would say that I spent probably 10 years, maybe more actually, when you add it all together, in the city, working in various different types of businesses. So I actually started in more of a PA type role, working for some really senior people in banking, private equity, but also with some startup environments as well. And in these roles, you become really privy to the business operations. You know, you're the real right hand to the person that's essentially running the business. So you get quite involved in the business yourself. And from there, I eventually actually moved into more of a kind of recruitment role, headhunting, and working with small businesses, but also big professional service firms, to help them build out new teams, restructure teams. If it's a startup, think about actually who do we need to hire first? What's our budget? Where are we going with this? And not just finding the right person, but also strategizing initially who that person was going to be. Then, like many of us, I kind of fell into coaching, ended up training to become a business coach, and started working with a lot of female entrepreneurs who themselves were working in startup businesses, you know, building out their own businesses. And I noticed this common trend that there's a huge section of knowledge missing for business owners, which is around what happens when we get to the point when we've maxed us out and we need to magically create more time, or we've built this business because we wanted more fun and more freedom, but we're now working all the hours, or we've hit this sort of income threshold and we don't know what to do. There's a real knowledge gap on how you identify who is the team, who do you need to come in and help you, what's the process, what kind of structures do you need to put in place, and how do you move forward beyond that point of being really maxed out. So it all kind of started to come together a few years ago, and this has been my focus now probably for 4 or 5 years, helping essentially maxed out business owners stop doing it all and scale into a bigger business.
Yes, and I have several questions for you, and I think they're the common questions around, well, when do I know that I am ready? And, you know, quite often I also hear, well, you got to do it before you actually are ready. So can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. The do it before you're ready is great advice, but at the same time, when will I be ready? So when do I do it that little bit before? For me, there's a couple of really common signs. So, for example, if business is going really well, but you've hit an income, because really there is no more time or energy that you can put into your business to create more income, then you're at a point where you need to bring in some support. If you have a product that is working really well, a revenue stream, but you actually can't scale that because, again, you don't have the manpower to deliver to more people, that's the point you need to bring in some more team. But I would also say, if you're in a position where financially you, and we all understand this in our businesses, you know, when you first start out, you're saying yes to everything, every client, because you're worried you're not going to have enough money to kind of make the business successful. But eventually you get to a point where you've sort of plateaued, you can pay your bills, you know, maybe you're not rolling in it, but you're also stable. At this point, though, you're starting to notice that you're spreading yourself too thin. You are still perhaps spending time and putting energy into areas of the business that really aren't your skill set. So perhaps you have got some great clients that you're doing great work with, but you're struggling to bring in more clients because it's perhaps not where your skills lie, the lead generation, the content creation, the messaging, whatever that might be. And because you're not in your zone of genius, you also procrastinate on it a bit. So there's no kind of consistency in terms of bringing in those new leads. So at this point, we're thinking it's not just about supporting us, it's actually, where is the bottleneck in my business? What's the area that I really need to now put some attention towards and start to maximize? Because if you're brilliant at the delivery, but you don't have enough clients coming to you, then, and you can do as many courses as you want to get better at messaging and content writing, but actually sometimes we have to say, do you know what? This is not my zone of genius. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to bring someone else to help me on that. And I'm going to focus my talents where they really lie, which is serving more clients, building out more materials for my clients, finding new exciting processes, new ways to deliver this excellence. So there'll be one or two little niggles that are getting there, you know, things that you're doing that are stressing you out, not having enough time, having to work when you're on holiday, feeling like you're always distracted when you're with your family because perhaps you've got this never-ending to-do list of things you need to do. So it all hits us at different levels, and I think we go through kind of steps of it.
Yes, I now see where you're coming from. Now, the question is then, so if I was going to think about bringing someone in, especially for, say, lead generation, I would need to know what that looks like, because that's quite a big topic. I mean, one lead generation activity is, as you said, content creation on Facebook. It could be content creation on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and they each, again, differ. And there are so many different people who say, well, I am an Instagram expert, I'm a TikTok expert, and so on. And, you know, so that's one question as to how do you pick. And then the second question is, why would you not go to an agency? Because I think that wouldn't be the solution. It's someone bringing someone in house. So there's probably two questions wrapped up in here. I got tons of questions.
Okay, so there are different ways of thinking about it. So obviously agencies are great and you could go to an agency. I would say even if you're going to an agency, you are still thinking about the process that they're going to provide in the same way you'd be thinking about somebody you're going to hire. You don't just want to go to an agency and say, please, can you fix my social media? Because they might, they could not understand your business and sell you all sorts of things you don't need and put in different processes that you need. So what I see happening at this point is you've already got to the point where you have established a bit of a process. So perhaps you already have a funnel. You've got a webinar that you've created, but you don't have enough people coming to that webinar. But you understand roughly what you're saying in terms of what's going to attract your clients, but maybe you're just not the best at wordsmithing it together or pulling everything together. So you've got an idea of what your lead generation process is, but it's not refined. Like, you're either not great in the numbers, tracking it, you're not great at remembering to do it, the content or post about what you've got, or certain areas like that. So actually you've already got a process that you're just trying to improve, tweak or refine. So then you might think about that and think, okay, so say for example, we're really looking at lead generation. We're looking at attracting new people into our world. And the reason that it's maybe going wrong is something around the messaging. So we are perhaps, I say we, the royal we, I'll use myself as an example. Imagine that I am just not great at getting that hook that draws people in to then say, yep, do you know what? I want to watch that masterclass. But I know that once people get to the masterclass, they think, wow, this is actually so useful. And 50% of them would go on to sign up with me. So what I know is that the bit that I'm struggling with is that messaging bit at the beginning. So then I know that I'm looking for somebody that is really good at creating, like creative writing, that one-liner content side. You know, and perhaps I can still help with pulling together the Canva slides or whatever it might be, but I'm really looking for the text. So it's getting really specific about looking at your own process and seeing where the gaps are, rather than throwing all the toys out of the pram and starting again, just going to an agency and saying, I need more leads. We can definitely be more specific than that. And it's kind of the same with anything you're thinking about bringing in support. Get really specific about what is the outcome that I want from this hire or from this agency. So if you're going to an agency, you're saying, look, I know from experience, because I've been doing this for 2 years, that most of my people come to me via Instagram. So that's where I want to focus. And I know that when I put out posts a little bit like this, they have a great reach. But I also know I could be better at that. Like the way I write it could be better, or my commitment to putting those posts out could be better. So the outcome that I want from either you as a C or you as an employee is I want 10 new leads coming into my world via Instagram every week and signing up to my masterclass. And I want 50% of those that then watch the masterclass to come through to a sales call. So we've got really specific about exactly what we're looking for. Does that make sense?
That is genius, because this is where I think a lot of entrepreneurs are struggling. They get the VA who may not be the best person, the best suitable person to do this job. And then what I also notice is that VAs don't tend to have any targets. And then the question is, can you enforce targets? I mean, as I remember back into my former days in corporate, as a senior manager, I had my targets. If I didn't hit those targets, I would be gone tomorrow. So, you know, what can you say about this space? Can we ask for targets? Should we be obviously enough? What is the solution?
100%. This is a massive bugbear of mine, because there are a lot of amazing VAs out there, but it's a little bit like going out and looking for a new house, okay? And just saying, I need a new house. And someone saying, yeah, I have a house. Do you want this one? And then you move in and you're like, hang on, this house isn't right for me, because firstly, it's only 2-bedroom family of 10 or something. You know, no thought has gone into it. It's not the right match. So I would always think, if you're hiring a VA, Why are you hiring that VA? What's the outcome of that role? What do you want them to be responsible for? So, for example, perhaps you have lots of amazing clients in your Limitless program, and you really want to make sure that those clients are having a fantastic experience the whole way through the client, through the process. Because not only does them finishing the program mean that they'll get the results, it then also means they're going to leave really happy telling everyone how you are. They're going to recommend you to other people, and you're probably going to get more referrals in. So if you're taking on a VA to take on the administration around that, the outcome that we're looking for is more happy people leaving the program and recommending us to other people, or recommending you to other people. So therefore, what are the little stages that your VA is looking for in that? Well, they've got to be really good at checking in regularly with your clients to make sure that they're happy, that they don't need any support, that they're working through the modules. They probably need to set up some kind of system where they're tracking people who have gone a bit AWOL in the program, so they can come back in and nurture them and show them a bit of love and get them back on track. They're also setting up a process of looking for recommendations and referrals as people leave the program. So then we're getting a bit clear on the type of VA we need. We need someone that is good at the overview of everybody in the program, but also great with systems, so they know who they're tracking, and confident enough to reach out and message people in your program and make sure that they're happy and feeling on track. And even just that little step of being confident enough to reach out and message people could be a deal breaker for certain VAs, which is complete. You know, they might be a VA that loves to be behind the scenes, ticking tasks off a list. They don't want that client interaction, that client contact, because that doesn't match with their skill set. It makes them nervous, and therefore they don't enjoy that kind of work. So it's really thinking, I would always start with the outcome. What do I need from this role? And then work backwards. And how do we measure? How does this person that I'm taking on know that they're doing a good job? Because we all want to do a good job. You know, whoever you're hiring, they want to do a good job. You want them to do a good job. So let's be really clear on what a good job looks like. And that's kind of what KPIs are, without having to use the scary terminology of KPI.
But then I guess certainly you will have to have some sort of contract and some sort of agreement and setting expectations and having those conversations with your VA, because now all of a sudden you are responsible for another team member. And you need to step up to become a leader.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've got to develop your own leadership style and see what works for you. There are a number of entrepreneurs that I work with that want to scale their teams, but they don't want to manage a team. And that is absolutely fine. But you then need to hire people that are happy to work quite autonomously, have the confidence to come to you when there is a problem, because I'm not a leader that's completely abdicating. They just don't necessarily want to be in a team catch up every day or every week. So then you've got to build really good systems that mean at a glance, you can see how your employee is doing. You know, are they keeping up with those targets or keeping track of those things? And if there's a problem, how are you going to then feed that back? What kind of conversation are you going to have? It's all about the environment that you're creating, and you need to create an environment that actually works for your employee as well. So again, we want to get clear on this before we even hire, so we can have those honest conversations and make sure we're bringing on the right person. Because yeah, if there's someone that, you know, really needs a daily check-in and hand-holding, and that doesn't fit with your schedule, because there are actually quite a few business owners I work with that have scaled their business to the point where they're only working a couple of hours a day, if that, and they definitely don't want to spend an hour on a call with someone going through their to-do list and handing over tasks and things like that. So we're working out what level are we hiring at. And perhaps you have to pay more if they're going to be more confident, more self-guided. But if that's the relationship that you want, then you need to understand that in the first place and pay accordingly, to be honest.
And that's a really good point, because I've had fairly bad experiences in the past hiring a VA, where I'm a quite a process driven person, just from my background, as I came from corporate and I was a process manager. So I think it was almost next question was going to be, do you think people should actually be starting to write down their processes as they are scaling and as they're growing? I think that the answer will be yes, as now, you know, you're thinking maybe bringing someone on. And when you talk about hiring, I don't think it needs to be like a full-time employed person. It could be a hybrid, or it could be someone freelance that you pay on an hourly basis, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. Yes, but I would go through the same process, because anyone you're bringing into your business is becoming important to your business, whether they're doing 3 hours a week or they're full time. You know, if you're bringing someone in to do 3 hours of copywriting a week, you still want that to be excellent copywriting that is completely relevant to your business. So it's still you still have to go through the same process of making sure that they're the right fit, that they understand your brand, that they can work in a way that works with your working style, that, you know, everybody's happy in terms of time frames, like how much hand holding do they need? What do you need to think about beforehand? And what I would always do, anytime you're bringing on someone, you're handing over the responsibility, so the responsibility for the outcome, and then you're asking them to start documenting their processes. So say, for example, you do bring on a copywriter and they, or a social media expert, and they're doing 5 posts for you a week. It would be amazing if they have documented that into SOPs somewhere in your system, so that if that person then does move on, or they're away for 3 weeks or something like that, somebody else can literally step in and pick up exactly where they've left off and be like, okay, I've got the step-by-step instructions. I know exactly what to do. I've got the logins. This is where we store all the videos that we can reuse, or the pictures, or these are the different ideas, or these are our pillars that we work from, whatever it might be. So we're building a really solid system. And actually, yeah, this links to, I mean, I know when we're starting our businesses, we think maybe we'll be in them forever, or, you know, what's going to happen. But if you are a service-based business, so if you're a coach, you have to start thinking about how you clone yourself and how you build those processes, because unless you want to stay in this business forever, your business becomes invaluable as soon as you step away from it. Literally are the business. So you've got to start thinking about, actually, how do I build this out so the whole business isn't hanging on me? Because, you know, God forbid, we just had the huge COVID epidemic, didn't we? Where, you know, lots of people were out of work sick for quite a long time. So if you are the whole business and your family's fairly reliant on the on your coaching business, and you have to take a long period of time off, what happens then? So I don't want to scaremonger, but it's definitely, we need to start thinking about the processes, the systems. How do we clone ourselves? How do we cut back on our role and bring in other people?
And it not only illness, I think it also sometimes you want to take a holiday and just be away. And also, I think, I mean, personally, I built my business because of my lifestyle. I didn't want to be in a 9-to-5. So do I really want to work every single day and how many hours, right? I mean, this is the thing. It's about seeking that leverage and seeking other people that are actually better, because we can't be good at every single thing. And this is the other thing, is like a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when you get started, you think you need to know everything. And I did the same thing. I started to build my own website. You know what? I gave up 3 months. It's a lot of time, energy. I didn't know how to build websites at that time. Now, of course, software has evolved, but that was over 10 years ago when I started. I just couldn't do it, and it just was a mess. So that in these instances, I then went back and hired a web designer, and then they did. After 3 weeks, I had a functioning website. So these are just learnings that, you know, maybe you want to go through it, but maybe not. And this is
exactly
why I want to share all these stories, because they are war battle stories.
I agree. Yeah. And often I think people say, well, when you start a business, you've got to do it all. Well, that's their frame of reference. You know, that's their friend that started a business that maybe didn't have any money to invest in the infrastructure, like a website or this or that or the other. It doesn't mean that you have to be the same. And I think, but equally, we don't need to invest in everyone as well. I think it's It's a really good trait to learn the different parts of your business, have an understanding of it, but you don't need to stay in those areas forever. If they're not your expertise, as you said, bring someone in who's better, you know? And I think sometimes that can feel awkward for us as well, to bring someone in and be like, yeah, so actually it turns out I'm not great at this, so.
And then especially when they're starting to ask you awkward questions and they help you clarify your own goals and your own message that you haven't really thought through very well. So yeah, it can be really refreshing as well.
Definitely.
It can be painful, but I think, yeah, there's definitely a lot of mileage there to get the support. And I'm not just talking about having people, but also having coaches who can help you with the strategy, who can help you map out a roadmap, because that's the first thing. If you don't even know what you're doing, you don't have the strategy, so what are you going to outsource? What are your processes? How are you going to new leads and sales? And if you do get on a sales call, how do you conduct those sales conversations? What's your offer? Like, all these things need to be actually already in place before you can think about scaling and outsourcing.
Exactly. And sometimes it's really difficult to see what's going on when you're in the weeds of it. So, you know, the first thing I do with my clients is sit down and we look at the whole thing and we're like, you know, analyzing which revenue streams are working, where are you leaking time and energy, what's the stuff that you procrastinate on because you just can't stand doing it, you know, what's the bit that's really making you money, what's the bit that you do better than anyone else or 95% of other people, because that's the thing you need to hang on to and really start a challenging opinion. And I think with any coach it'll be the same, you know, with the work that you do with your clients, it's really challenging the ideas that people have where they say, oh, I can't do that, or that wouldn't work for me, you know, and getting into it. And that's what I find really interesting, because 95% of coaches that I've worked with initially will say, but I am the business. I couldn't hand any of it over. I couldn't do that. And I would say for every single one of them, we found a way that most of it can actually be divided out or given to other people to the benefit of their clients, not the detriment. So actually we can improve the process by bringing in other people, not make it worse for their clients.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you do best. And I think this is where, you know, you add so much value when you are working with your clients, because you can feel very uncomfortable to embark on this journey, to actually trying to find someone, because you don't really, you're not really clear. You may not be confident around how to interview people, how to get people on board, what to do with these contracts. So, Georgia, let people know where they can find you and what you've got going on so that they can connect and see whether there is something to do together or they need.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love for people to connect with me on Instagram. I'm there as @IamGeorgiaFitzgerald. You can also find me on LinkedIn. My website is GeorgiaFitzgeraldCoaching.com. On there is a free masterclass where you can get more into the detail of potentially where you might need to hire or where you might have a bottleneck in your business. So if you're interested in understanding your problem area, that's a great place to start. And also for businesses that have got that little bit further and are now have team but have questions around, like, what happens if someone goes on maternity leave, or what do I do if this happens? I also have a membership where I've brought together quite a few different experts to help with that. So we've got legal, we've got HR, we've got a CFO, and then myself on kind of strategy, recruitment, leadership, and that's called leadbrave.co.uk. So there's a lot of different places you can go.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Thank you so much, Georgia, for being a guest on my podcast today. And if you've got any questions, we'll obviously leave all the links in the show notes. If you do need any more around entrepreneurship, go to the podcast host page that I've put there for you as well. I've got a range of resources, which actually helps female entrepreneurs to get their offers started out, their marketing sorted. And yeah, when you're ready to scale, do you connect with Georgia? Or even if you're not ready, you know, I think we're never going to be 100% ready, I think exactly. We just need to tell ourselves, that's it, we're going to press the button and just get a couple of hours a week, we get some help and get this started.
But yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
Thanks for listening. This show was brought to you by Divas That Care. Connect with us on Facebook, on Instagram, and of course on divasthatcare.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss a thing.